In 1964, Senator Barry Goldwater was National Review's candidate of choice rather than of compromise. Goldwater was the first Republican presidential candidate since Coolidge to break with the core assumptions of progressivism, including what Goldwater called Me Too Republicanism. As a result, Goldwater was demonized as the candidate of hate and nascent fascism. LBJ accused him of preaching hate and consistently tried to tie him to terrorist hate groups like the Klan, whose constituency was, of course, traditionally Democratic. In a speech before steelworkers in September 1964, Johnson denounced Goldwater's philosophy of the soup line, as if free market capitalism's ideal is to send men to the poorhouse, and scorned the prejudice and bigotry and hatred and division represented by the affable Arizonan. Needless to say, this was a gross distortion. Goldwater was a champion of limited government who put his faith in the decency of the American people rather than in a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington. His one great mistake, which he later admitted and apologized for, was to vote against the Civil Rights Act. Few liberals, then or now, would dispute that the Great Society was premised on love and unity. We will do all these things because we love people instead of hate them. Because, you know, it takes a man who loves his country to build a house instead of a raven, ranting demagogue who wants to tear down one. Beware of those who fear and doubt, and those who rave and rant about the dangers of progress, Johnson railed. Meanwhile, the establishment worked overtime to insinuate that Goldwater was an architect of the climate of hate that had claimed Kennedy's life. As befitted the newly psychologized zeitgeist, Goldwater was denounced as quite literally insane. An ad in the New York Times reported that 1,189 psychiatrists had diagnosed him as not psychologically fit to be president. The charge was then recycled in excessive free media coverage. Dan Rather's colleague, Daniel Shore, now a senior correspondent with National Public Radio, reported on the CBS Evening News with no factual basis whatsoever that candidate Goldwater's vacation to Germany was a move by Senator Goldwater to link up with neo-Nazi elements. Goldwater lost in a landslide, and given LBJ's monumental ego, as well as the hubris of his intellectual coterie, it's no wonder that the election results were greeted as an overwhelming endorsement of the Great Society project. Again, Johnson was in many ways a perfect incarnation of liberalism's passions and contradictions. His first job, tellingly enough, was as a schoolteacher during the rising tide of the Deweyan Revolution in education.